Hey, this is Ryan Rogers, and I'm the pastor at the Palmer Seventh-day Adventist Church. I hope that this message gives you a glimpse of how beautiful our God is.
Today's message is a reminder to not worry. And it's a timely message because our world, our lives, our minds, our schedules, they're full of worrisome things. And I invite you, as we open Scripture, to take a spiritual deep breath and receive the peace that God offers us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we turn so quickly to worry. We worry about our country, our families, our school that is opening, and our teachers, and our students, and our church, our work, our economy. We lay all of those things at your feet. We trust you with them. And I pray that as we are reminded that you give us peace, that we would surrender our lives and all of our worry to you. In Jesus' name, amen. A friend was telling me of a concert that he went to that was incredible. The performer was Bobby McFerrin, and Bobby was taking song requests from the audience, and without rehearsal, no lyrics in front of him, no band behind him, no sheet music, he would perform the song the crowd requested. And you have to understand, I looked Bobby up and I watched a couple YouTube performances. Bobby doesn't just sing the melody. Bobby is able to make multiple tones at one time. I'm not sure how he does it, but he's able to sound like more than one person singing. He is an incredible musician. I had never heard of Bobby McFerrin, but I am familiar with his number one hit. In 1988, Bobby reached number one on the U.S. music charts with his hit song, Don't Worry, Be Happy. You probably know the song. It has that catchy whistling introduction that goes like this. Except for Bobby does it a whole lot better. And the song was a huge hit at the Grammys. It won Song of the Year. And the album it was produced on won Album of the Year. And Bobby McFerrin won Male Pop Vocal Performance of the Year. The song even made it onto the top 15 whistling songs of all time. Not only was it a hit, but it has a positive message. Don't worry, be happy. It's kind of unusual because songs that make it to number one don't often have a positive message. I looked at the list of those songs that made it to number one in 1988. I recognized a few of the titles, a few of the artists. The only one I could really sing along with was Kokomo by the Beach Boys. But just looking at the title, I was reminded that a lot of popular music does not have a positive message. But here Bobby is reminding the world to not worry and to be happy. And Bobby is so right. Worry is really bad for us. Worry is destructive. In fact, a lot of the things it does to us are the same types of things that you might have with destructive, really bad habits, except for it's easier because you don't have to eat something for it to destroy you or drink something. You just have to think something and it's destructive in our lives. Bobby is right, but Bobby is only half right. I'm not criticizing Bobby. I've become a big fan, but what Bobby tells us is not very helpful. He points us to an ideal emotional state where we don't worry and we're happy, but he tells us nothing about how to get there. Just don't worry, be happy. Try that with a 2-year-old who's throwing a tantrum. Hey, you be happy. Try that with a friend who's grieving a loss. It's not helpful. It reminds me of a comedy skit I've seen, and a woman walks in to meet her counselor, and they're sitting across a desk from each other, and she begins to share some crippling fears in her life, and the counselor listens very professionally for a few minutes and asks a few questions, and then he says, okay, I'm going to tell you 2 words, and I want you to take them out of this office with you and internalize them in your life. So she gets ready to write these 2 words down. He says, no, we find most people can remember it. Are you ready? He says. And then after he gets her attention, he says, stop it! And after she recovers from her surprise, she says, "What do you mean? Just stop it? I can't do that." And he says, "No, no, no. We don't go there. Just stop it." It's not that helpful. It tells us what we should achieve, where we should end up, but it doesn't tell us how to get there. See, maybe you could say that being happy is how to not worry. Just don't worry, be happy. But we live in a country with a whole bunch of people who have the right to life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness, and we're pursuing happiness in all kinds of expensive, reckless, imaginative ways, whatever way we think makes us happy, and we're still all stressed out. Being happy is not the way to get rid of worry. The Bible says the same thing Bobby McFerrin says. Says, don't worry. But then the Bible says something different. The Bible tells us how. The Bible actually gives us behaviors that are able to reduce worry in our life. We're going to look at four of those behaviors today. We're going to begin in Matthew chapter 6. There are many good points about worry in this section of scripture, but what we're looking for are those behaviors that you can actually do that will lead us to peace. And so we open up to verse 25. It says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life." So far, it's just said, don't worry, stop it. But it does highlight a few of the things that we worry about. And so before we get to those behaviors, just notice some of the things that are worried about. That word therefore actually points us back. If you look at the section before there, it's talking about laying up treasures in heaven and not having two masters. You can't serve both God and money. It was really interesting to recognize that stress is associated with what our master is. I had a boss that was a really stressful boss for me one time, but amazing thing happened. When I moved on from that job, that boss no longer stressed me out because that boss was no longer my master. And so here, presented as money being our master, if it's your master, it's going to stress you out. So the answer is you can't have that be your master. There's a wonderful story told of Peter Waldo. We know his followers as the Waldensians. And Peter had met God in his life, and his life was transformed, and he was a very rich man. But his money was his master. And so he gave away his money. He literally threw it out into the streets and people gathered it up. People thought he had gone insane. He said, "No man can serve two masters, God and mammon. My fellow citizens and friends, I am not insane as you think, but I am avenging myself on my enemies who made me a slave, so that I was always more careful of money than of God, and served the creature rather than the creator. I know that many will blame me that I act thus openly, but I do it both for myself and for you, for myself so that anyone who sees me from now on having any money may say that I am mad, and for you, that you may learn to put hope in God and not in riches." Peter Waldo was not crazy to get rid of his money. He was setting his heart free to serve a different master. Whatever it is that we're worrying about has some kind of authority mastering over us. And the text says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life." Well, if it had said, "Do not be anxious about your job," that's doable because that's a compartment of life. But it says, "Do not be anxious about your life," which means there is a peace in God that is big enough that we don't have anxiety about this whole life. And then it says, points us to not worrying about eating or drinking, and it asks this question, "Is not your life more than food and your body more than clothes?" Whatever it is you're worried about right now, life is more than that thing. So far, we don't have any real behavior that we're looking for, but in verse 26, we see it. It says, "Look at the birds of the air." There it is. This is one of those behaviors that we can do that will lead us to peace. So what can you do to not worry? Go bird watching. Look at the birds of the air. And when you look at the birds, what are you looking for? The text says, they don't sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. You're looking to be reminded that God takes care of his creation. God provides for these birds. And then it points us to another part of nature. He points us to plants, and he says, consider the flowers. Now, just on first reading, that sounds like a really soft, hippie-like answer. A way to not worry, to reduce anxiety, would be think about flowers. But it's not stopping there. The reason we think about flowers is that we can see something about God. We see that even though it's just a plant that's here today and not going to be here for very long, God clothes these plants with splendor and beauty. Now, you might have been impressed with flowers before. There are a lot of impressive things about flowers. You might be impressed with the color or the size or the intricate design, but I bet you've never been impressed by a flower because it worked so hard. It was trying so hard. Flowers don't try very hard, and that's why it says they don't labor or spin. They're not working hard. What a beautiful picture of salvation. These are things that do not labor, and yet they're clothed. We don't labor, and yet we are clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness. And here's the lesson about the birds. Look at the birds and remember that you're more valuable than the birds. Are you not much more valuable than they? See, there is a connection between our stress level and our understanding of our value in the eyes of God. If you're stressed, remind yourself, tell yourself the truth that God so loves you, that he gave his son for you. If there's that much value from the God who created everything, if there's that much value on you, what are we stressed about? So the lesson in the birds is you're more valuable than them. The lesson in the flowers is you last longer than them. They're here today, but tomorrow they won't be. But God has created you to live with him forever. There is a temporary moment in which we're stressed and we have worry, but look past that. We're not like flowers that fade. We were created to be with God forever. You can look at nature, and we have nature all around us. Just yesterday, I was preparing this message down by the river, and I saw a moose, and he walks past, and he swam across the Matanuska River, this cold, raging river, and I just watched as God's creation impressed me. Look around you, find something God created, and say, hey, that thing, God made that, and God is caring for that. And see what it does to your stress. So don't worry. Look at nature. And when you look at nature, see a God that provides. And now our second behavior is in verse 33. But on the way there, there's just a bunch of good points about worry. It asks in verse 27, can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? You realize that worry is about control. We worry because we want to control our next step. We want to control tomorrow, and we can't. There is a wonderful quote about worry from the book Desire of Ages. There's a chapter called The Invitation, and it's based on Matthew 11, 28 through 30, that verse that says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and it says, I will give you rest. And here's what it says about worry. Worry is blind and cannot discern the future, but Jesus sees the end from the beginning. In every difficulty, he has his way prepared to bring relief. What a thought. Worry is blind. And then we see that we're not supposed to run after all these things. Another way of saying, don't worry. And it says, that's what the pagans do. In other words, the mindset of the worrier is the mindset of those who don't know God. And we know God. So we shouldn't run after all these things like they do. And then it says this wonderful peace-giving truth in verse 32, for your Father in heaven knows. Whatever it is that you're worried about right now, just think of that thing and tell yourself, God knows all about it. What does that do to your worry? And then in verse 33, we read, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." So don't worry. Seek God
first.
Instead of armoring up to go take on our problems, we put the armor down and we go to God. Now, we could interpret this as a really soft thing. You know, I'm worried, so I'm just going to have a little prayer about it. I'm going to talk to God about it, and that's seeking God. And that's good. You should have a little prayer about it. But it's not saying seek God about the thing you're worried about. This is something different entirely. It is saying take the thing you're worried about and lower it on your priority list and put God at the top. So you have the thing you're worried about. Maybe you still have to do that, but you actually turn and put your highest and best energies to seeking God himself, not God for what he can do about the thing you're worried about. Seek God wholeheartedly, and seeking God has a huge reward. We're told in many ways in Scripture that when we seek him, we find him. And finding God is exactly what the worried heart needs. I'm going to read to you another quotation, this one from the book Ministry of Healing. It says this: "Our Heavenly Father has 1,000 ways to provide for us, of which we know nothing. Those who accept the one principle of making the service of God supreme will find perplexities vanish and a plain path before their feet." It is an awesome truth to remind ourselves that God has 1,000 ways right now to provide that we know nothing about. And it's amazing to think that perplexities could vanish and we'd have a plain path before our feet. But don't miss this. Those who have their perplexities vanish are those who accept the one principle of making the service of God supreme. In other words, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Because worry seeks things. And Scripture's telling us, stop seeking that thing, seek God. Scripture tells us, don't worry, believe God. It's right here in John chapter 14, verse 1. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." It's belief that fights against worry. And in this text, we're told to believe in God the Father, believe in the Son, believe that he is going to his Father's house to prepare a place for us, believe in heaven, believe that he's going to come back, believe in the second coming. We face worry by reaffirming the truth that we believe in. It says, "Let not your hearts be troubled." But I just want to notice, it doesn't say, don't have any trouble. Life is going to have trouble. In fact, if you go over to John 16, verse 33, it says, "In this world, you're going to have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world." So it's not saying, don't have trouble. It says, when you have trouble, don't let your heart be troubled. Here's another point in which Bobby McFerrin is right. He agrees that we're going to have trouble. He says, "In every life, we have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double." He also gives examples. He says, "The landlord says your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry. Be happy." And it's true, because not being worried is not about your troubles going away, but about not letting your heart be troubled, even though those troubles are there. If you are driving down the road, beautiful sunny day, you're excited to go somewhere, you have a good attitude, and then all of a sudden, you're caught in a downpour, and it's raining so hard, you cannot even see the road in front of you. Your windshield is covered with water. What does that rain tell you about you? It tells you nothing about you. It doesn't tell you that you're a bad person. It doesn't tell you that you were going the wrong way. It doesn't tell you you're going too fast. It doesn't tell you that you're going to get in a wreck. What it does tell you is you better turn on your windshield wipers or you're going to end up in an accident. And that's what stress is in our life. That's what trouble is in our life. When it comes, it tells us nothing about who we are. It just comes. It's just a reality. But when it does come, you got to turn your windshield wipers on. You got to clear that worry from your vision so you can see clearly where you're going. Mark 5:36 says, "Do not fear, only believe." You know who those words were spoken to? They were spoken to a man who had a really big problem. Jairus' daughter was dead, and those were the words spoken to him. Do not fear, only believe. Which tells us that not fearing has nothing to do with our problems going away. His daughter was dead, but he was called to believe. When you are filled with worry, reaffirm what you believe in. And now we're going to go to Philippians. In chapter 4, verse 6, we read those words, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So don't worry. Pray. It says to not worry about anything. It says to pray in everything. And when we pray, do it with thanksgiving, because that's a prayer of faith, knowing that God is good. We can thank Him for things that we haven't seen Him do yet. And then it says, present your request to God. That's how it pictures prayer, is taking your request and presenting it before God. When I was a new father, had a little baby, and she would cry, and I could do nothing about it because she wanted mama. Mama had what she needed. And so there would be times when mom was busy and I was holding little baby and she's crying. When mama would come, I had all this stress, you know, like, oh, what can I do for this baby? Baby's crying is stressful. But when mama would come, I would present the baby to mama. And sometimes the baby would stop crying, sometimes not. But mommy had what she needed. Mom could nurse her. Mom could take care of her. You know what happened to my stress level when I presented the baby to someone who could actually do something about the baby's needs? Someone who was capable of caring for it? I took that thing that was weighing on me, that stress that was weighing on me, and I put it somewhere where it could actually be cared for, and my stress went away. And that's the kind of prayer we are called to pray here, is the kind of prayer that takes our requests, the things are weighing on us, and it presents it to one who can actually do something about it. Because worry has all kinds of requests. It has requests for everyone around us. It has demands upon us and others. But what Scripture is telling us to do, just like in every one of these points that said, you know, don't look at the thing worry has you look at. Look at nature and see God. Don't seek the thing that worry has you seek, but seek God. Don't believe the things that worry tells you, but believe God. And here we're told to not present our request in the ways that worry would have us do it, but take those requests and give them to the one who can actually do something about it. And here's the promise in verse 7. It says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Did you see what the promise is? It is not that when we present our request to God, we will get the thing we requested, or that we will be happy. The promise is that we'll have peace. God says, when you come to me, things might not change in your stressful reality, but I'm promising you, I will give you peace. We talked about stress coming over our windshield and clouding our vision. That can happen with peace too. It happened to me once, literally. I was preaching a sermon, and I'm not sure exactly what the sermon was about, but I used popsicle sticks at the end of the sermon for the appeal, and I had those listening write down something on the popsicle stick and bring it forward and present it to God. And some of the things might have been confidential, so I said, I'm going to collect all those so they're not just laying around the church. And I put them back in the box, and I don't know how many I had, but the box held 130 popsicle sticks and stuff. Some of them were used, some of them were unused, and I stuffed them all back in the box and kind of forgot about it and went on my way home. But when I came to the first stop sign, I put the brakes on, and I heard a noise that startled me. And I saw something, and I didn't know what it was, and for a split second, I didn't know what was going on, And then I realized that the popsicle sticks were on the top of my car and the box had tipped over and they were raining down my windshield. 130 popsicle sticks making a mess all over the intersection and the hood of my car. And one of them had flipped over so that I could see the words. And while they were falling down the windshield, I saw one that said, "Peace that passes understanding." Right there in my view was peace that passes understanding. Perfect illustration for what Christ does in our heart. Our view of the world can have peace rain down on it so that everything we see is filtered through the peace that God gives. I'm not sure who to give the credit to, but I agree with what they said. It says, worry doesn't take away tomorrow's trouble. It only takes away today's peace. Bobby is right. We shouldn't worry. We should be happy. But Bobby is only half right, because just to tell someone, don't worry, be happy, doesn't actually help. And it didn't work for Bobby either. His song was so popular that George Bush Sr. used it as his official campaign song. But Bobby didn't like that very much, partially because George Bush's campaign never asked permission. And so Bobby protested and he said he would not vote for George Bush. In fact, he went a step further and he removed the song from his repertoire. You would go to a Bobby McFerrin concert. He had a number one hit and he wouldn't sing his own song because he didn't like what it was associated with. What's the matter, Bobby? Don't worry. Be happy. I already told you I'm a Bobby McFerrin fan now, so I'm not picking on him, but just to make the point, I wrote a little verse to his song. It goes like this. The president, he steal your song, then try to act like nothing wrong, but don't worry, be happy. Doesn't work, does it? Not when you're worried and unhappy. That's not enough. But you know what does work? Don't worry. Look at nature and see that God provides for the things he creates. Don't worry. Seek God as your first priority. Go hard after him. Don't worry. Believe in God. Trust that he is who he is and he'll do what he says he will do. Don't worry. Pray. Pray with thanksgiving and receive the peace of God. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for being a God of peace. We want to renew that peace today because we get all worked up. And Lord, I pray that these practical things you give us in our word could be a part of our life, that we could pause in the very moments we are worried and turn our attention to you, seek you, look to you, believe in you, and pray to you, and that you would help us to be people who live in your peace. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from the Palmer Seventh-day Adventist Church. Find us online at palmerak.adventistchurch.org and at pastorryanrogers.com.